This is the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. I'm a homeschool father of five. We've raised our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado for some 27 years. Steve Vaughn also with me. Homeschool father of six. And today, we want to take a look at the culture. And we want to be somewhat of the men of Issachar, again, who are understanding the times so they will know what to do. And some stories are representative, highly incarnational, are representative of the heart and soul of the post-Christian culture. And this story, Steve, is rich in irony, irony.
So we're not talking about other iron and other nutrients. So it's not a food program.
No, this would be, this would be more of a story rich in irony, not iron for the kids who are out there wanting to draw distinctions on these things.
Okay.
This is an African-led church in London, which, by the way, is extremely common in London. African-led church in London. Apparently, African immigrants are very involved in the evangelical Pentecostal movement in London. And there is this hypocritical MP that's a minister of parliament. This hypocritical MP white guy commends this African-led church for their service to the community, okay?
Okay.
And then he comes to realize that it's a true church of Jesus Christ, and they respect the commandments of God, and they preach God's word. And so now, this hypocritical MP white guy has to apologize for commending this African-led church in London.
No. That is rich in irony.
It was African-led. Yeah, it was an African-led church. He thought he could demonstrate a little multicultural commendation, you know, maybe gain some brownie points. But it turned out to be a Christian African church.
They actually love Jesus. Wow.
Yeah. So of course, he's shocked and he's embarrassed. And he rushes up to the podium to apologize to everybody that he, you know, spent 10 seconds approving of something that the people of Jesus did in London. Sir Keir Starmer is leader of the UK's Labour Party. He was forced to apologize for visiting a church on Good Friday that critics attacked as being anti-LGBT for adhering to biblical sexual ethics. In a since-deleted video, Starmer praised Jesus House for All Nations on Friday as being a wonderful example of a church serving its community during the coronavirus pandemic, including acting as a vaccination center and running a food bank. So he had this wonderful tweet, you know, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And it turned out that this church is a biblical church. You know, they stand for biblical ethics. And he freaked out and said, I'm sorry. I'm just horrified that he would in any way give any recognition to these people.
Wow.
Now, here's something I included in my book, Epic, The Rise and Fall of the West, which, by the way, is available now at generations.org. But towards the end, I had to wrap it up. I had to summarize what was going on, and I have about 10 different recommendations for understanding the times and an agenda for what to do now that we see Western civilization collapsing around us and the Christian influence upon the culture reduced to almost nothing. So what do we do? How do we then live? How shall we then live? And I actually try to answer the question, something Francis Schaeffer didn't quite do in his tome, How Should We Then Live? So I did my best to give Christians some vision and some approach to how to handle the post-Christian age in the Western world. So all of that available in Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. But this is a segment from Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. Walking through a mall somewhere in America's heartland, we find ourselves surrounded by tattooed, body-mutilated, half-clothed natives, mostly of European derivation. The beaches of the Bahamas and Mexico are filled with rude, tattooed, bikini-clad Westerners enjoying the service of modestly dressed, clean and polite natives. Indigenous pastors in Asia and Africa often speak of opportunities to evangelize the U.S. missionaries and mission teams visiting their churches. Some expatriates from the United States stick around to hear the gospel preached by men of true faith, and African pastors have taken time to provide long-term discipleship for the American missionaries who were sent out by denominational mission agencies. And by the way, these are true stories. I've been to Africa and Asia, and the pastors, these indigenous pastors are delighted to disciple Westerners into the true faith, the true Christian faith. In post-Christian London, over half of church attendees on any given Sunday are of African or Caribbean heritage. All right, that's over half. Two-thirds of new church plants are black and Pentecostal. Friends, the ironies multiply, an application of that principle left to us by our Lord. The first shall be last, and the last first. And that is precisely what's happening in post-Christian London, UK, with what, just 4% of evangelical church attendees, most of which are of African or Caribbean derivation. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations broadcast.
Ever since the creation of the Garden of Eden, Satan has been working his hardest to erase the knowledge of God and seduce the creatures made in God's image to think that they are the center of the universe. One look at today's society and you see his progress. Humanistic thought has inundated our culture, and we can trace its roots directly back to the classroom and the textbooks we're setting in front of our kids. That's why every Christian homeschool parent should have a curriculum that's not only rock solid academically, but most importantly will point students back to their Creator as the source of all wisdom and knowledge, and to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you've been struggling to find such a curriculum, look no further. Here at Generations, we've spent over 15 years developing our Christian discipleship curriculum to help Christian homeschool parents like you pass on the faith to your children by teaching a God-centered view of life and integrating the Bible into every lesson. Our goal is to not only help you meet your students' academic needs, but also to assist you in discipling your children for generations to come. So get started today with our Christian discipleship curriculum and watch your children marvel, learn, and mature as they embark on a God-focused learning adventure to discover more about the world around them and the one who made it all. You can learn more about our curriculum resources and pick up our newly released fifth grade curriculum pack today at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, also Steve Vaughn. And friends, this here's an interesting statistic that we included in the Worldview in 5 minutes on our Tuesday broadcast. I write the Monday broadcast for Sunday, Tuesday, and included this very interesting economic analysis that comes from the U.S. Bureau of Economic Analysis. And it's the bounce back by state chart, identifying the states that experienced the best fourth to third quarter results last year. In other words, I wanted to identify which states had the best ratio, the best bounce back of the fourth to third quarter, because the fourth quarter was an improved quarter over the third quarter. And leading the pack for bouncing back economically in the United States, and friends, I use these things because I want people to understand that we have some states that are better than others, economically, socially, morally, and almost every other aspect. And so I think it's interesting. People are interested in these things. If some are interested in moving out of some areas into other areas in which perhaps there might be a more of a reception to discipleship of the nations. But leading the pack for bouncing back, Steve, were South Dakota, Nebraska, Texas, and Tennessee.
Okay.
The states coming up dead last in economic recovery from the COVID-19 economic crisis were Washington State, Oregon, Michigan, Wisconsin, Maine, New Mexico, Hawaii, and California. Now, Steve, do you see any difference between those two blocks?
I'm thinking there may be a color difference, like blue and red.
I hadn't thought about that, but I do think there is a blue-red difference.
But they the ones that are bouncing back better tended to not fall for all of the closures and the fear factor of all of the things that were going on, and all the rest of them were, and they still are. Let's lock everything down. Let's be afraid. Be very afraid.
I think you nailed it, and we're going to get to that theme in just a moment, Steve, because I think that's it. Ultimately, it was the states that were fearful. It was the states that were also not just fearful and in infusing fear into their population base, but also they were tyrannical, and they used that opportunity to increase the power of the state exponentially in the year 2020. So, yeah, that's it. That's it. And they will pay the price, and they are paying the price. Some states are better than others. And thanks be to God, there is something of a free market operating in which a state might do better than another state only because they bring a wise and thoughtful policy to bear, which usually begins with the fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge. Because, hey, states that actually fear God as the beginning of wisdom and knowledge will probably do wise things when it comes to their economic policy. Also, here's what's interesting. This from the EU. Very bad year so far this year. People say, well, last year was bad. Well, what about this year? Of course, we have all the rah-rah economics that are saying, you know, it's wonderful. This is going to be the best year ever. We're all coming back. All the phrases, you know, we're burning back. We're busting back. We're wonderful. It's all great. Well, it turns out the EU is doing terrible. Germany is expecting a 2% slide on the GDP for its first quarter of 2021. After what was it, an 8% slide in 2020? Now they're headed for another 2%. And then experts are forecasting a 2 to 2.5% retraction for the UK's GDP in the first quarter. That's reported in financialtimes.com. Meanwhile, Asia is doing way better. China Daily is saying that China is looking at a double-digit growth for the first quarter. So what does that mean? That means China's going to be at like 12% growth, while the EU is slogging down somewhere around 2 to 3%. And Vietnam, by the way, has announced something of a 4.5% GDP bump for its first quarter. And get this, China is reporting a 50% improvement on exports year over year for the first 2 months of 2021, while the United States has achieved something like a massive increase in the last couple of months on its trade deficit, a massive increase on the deficit. That is, they're not exporting. They're just importing and consuming. And America is up towards a $71 billion trade deficit. That's about double what it was 2 years ago. So America is doing terrible. China's doing wonderful. And the EU is collapsing. So that's where things are. Now, Steve, I wanted to identify the reason for this. Now, the news stories that deal with this say, okay, the reason for weak performance in Germany and UK and for strong performance in China is really the forced lockdowns that continued in the UK and Germany over the last 3 months. These were not as common in the Eastern nations. And you nailed it when you said the issue is fearfulness. It's fear. And I go back to Psalm 53. I was thinking about, I was meditating on this morning and thought, it's Psalm 53. This is Psalm 53, word for word. Psalm 53 speaks to this directly. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They're all corrupt and done abominable iniquity. There's none who does good. God looks down from the heavens upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Every one of them turned aside. They've together become corrupt. There's none who does good, no, not one. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon God? If that doesn't really highlight what's going on in the UK, hey, they're not even giving credence to an African pastor in London, all right? Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon God? And here it is, verse 5 of Psalm 53. There they are in great fear where no fear was.
Wow.
That's it, Steve.
Wow.
That's what you were saying earlier. Yeah. There they were in great fear where no fear was. For God has scattered the bones of him who encamps against you. You have put them to shame because God has despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come back out of Zion when God brings back the captivity as people. Let Jacob rejoice and Israel be glad. That is, the blessing on the church of Jesus Christ in London or anywhere else in the world will continue to return. But, hey, this is Psalm 37. This is Psalm 53. The wicked flee when no man pursues. There they are in great fear where no fear was. This is the UK. This is Germany. This is Norway. Our societies are fearful of everything. Why? Because they don't fear God. If you don't fear God, you will fear everything eventually. These guys are in the grip of the fear of death. In fact, it is a bondage, a form of bondage. That's the way it's described in Hebrews chapter 2. The fear of death is a kind of bondage. And these guys are in the grip of the fear of death. These evil societies that are opposed to God, they fear. They are trembling. They are in dread fear of just about everything at this point. And this is how the nations will fall. You know, I got to thinking, okay, so Psalm 53 speaks of these that say in their heart there is no God, and then they're sunk into the great fear where no fear was, God scattering the bones of them and camps against the churches. And then I thought, well, what are the most atheist nations in the world? What are the most godless nations in the world? So, Steve, I did a research on this, and sure enough, there have been a number of surveys done from 2010 onwards. Here's a 2010 survey that was done. Most godless nations in the world are Sweden, Norway, France, Denmark, Netherlands, Finland, the UK, and Germany. Those are the seven most fearful and atheistic nations in the world. Sweden, only 18% of Swedes say they believe in there's a God. Only 18% of Swedes believe there's a God. So what is it? 82% of Swedes in this survey say there is no God. That's a lot of fools. That's a ton of fools. That's a ton of fools.
That is.
Okay, for Norway, it's 22%. For France, it was like 24%. Denmark, it was high. UK, only 37% of UKers believe there is a God. Only 37% believe there is a God. Now, we're not talking about Christians here. We're just talking about people who just in general sort of deistic, have a general sense that there may be a God. But 37% of UKers believe there is a God. That's 63% do not believe there's a God. 63% of UKers are fools who say there is no God. For Germany, 44% say there is a God. And what is that? 56% say there is no God. So the fool ratio of Germany is 56%. So these are the most godless nations in the world. These apostate Protestant nations are the most godless nations in the world. Sweden, Norway, France, Denmark, Netherlands, Finland, UK, and Germany. And guess which nations are the slowest at recovering from the economic crisis from 2020? These are the most fearful nations when COVID hit. These were the most fearful nations when COVID hit. These are the nations not recovering from the economic crisis, even to this point. They are so afraid. They kept shutting down their economies. And now look at them. Their economies are collapsing. And China's economy is on the rise. Now, some will say, yeah, but China has its issues, too. And I get this sometimes. People write in and say, yeah, but China's a problem. They're atheistic and they're Buddhistic and they're this and that and Confucianistic. And they you know, have all this abortion issue and such. But there's a difference between China and the West. And that is that the West is in apostasy. These are the apostate that destroyed the Christian West. I wrote the book Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, and Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, so that people would read the story, that the Christians that are left would tell the truth and know the truth about who destroyed the Western nations and why they destroyed the Western nations. The difference between China and the West is that the West is in apostasy. China never had a Christian heritage to speak of. The UK did, since roughly AD 1000, Athelstan. Back it up to about 800, and you get into King Alfred and Athelstan. Athelstan, the first king of England, properly speaking. So Athelstan, King Alfred, the wonderful king who was the grandfather of Athelstan, who brought out a legal code with chapter and verse from Exodus 20 and Exodus 21, all the way through his legal code. And Winston Churchill himself said that the entire legal code or common law of England was based on the biblical law code presented by King Alfred in roughly 840 AD. And yeah, we had a Christian heritage. The UK had one of the richest Christian heritages in history, but torpedoed it in the 1800s and 1900s. The difference between the China and the West is that the West is in apostasy. China never had a Christian heritage to speak of. The West has declared war on Jesus. Obviously, they declared war on Jesus. What was that African church we talked about in London? It was the Jesus Church, or what is it? A Jesus House for All Nations. Okay, so Sir Keir Starmer, the leader of UK's Labour Party, has declared war on the Jesus House for All Nations in London. Not because it's an African pastor, but because it's a Christian pastor and a Christian church. He's declared war on that church. And so this is the reason for the destruction of the Western world. This is the reason for the great fear. This is the reason for the apostasy, the atheism and such, and the breakdown of the economies. The West has declared war on Jesus in the most demonstrative way possible. The West has spent the last 10 years utterly destroying God's institution of marriage, the one man, one woman vision that God gave to us. It's the Western world that's been attacking God and attacking marriage and attacking Jesus nonstop for at least the last 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, in some cases 100 years of nonstop attacking the values, the Christian approach that God has given to us by his mercy and by his grace over the last 1,000 years. Well, you know what Jesus said to a society that had the Bible, that had the personal ministry of Jesus and the apostles? You know what Jesus said to a society that had the Bible, had the scriptures, and had the personal ministry of Jesus and the apostles, yet rejected it? This is what he said to the Jews in Matthew 12. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. That is this pagan Assyrian government. These Assyrians, the king of Nineveh, rise up in judgment with this generation. When it comes to the final judgment, you're going to have Ninevites standing up and condemning the Jews of AD 40 or AD 30. And, of course, they will condemn us as well because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. But indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. That is Jesus. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed, a greater than Solomon is here. That is Jesus is here. Luke 10:13. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Woe to you, Washington, D.C. Woe to you, Seattle. Woe to you, London. Woe to you, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. Boy, that message applies to America as much as it applied to the Jews some 2,000 years ago, Steve.
Yes, it did. And you know, that's what it takes, is it takes repentance. It takes turning your heart and your mind and your whole body towards God to run on the path that he set before you with your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. That's where it comes down to.
And I think to apply it to America, Steve, America is more culpable before God than China. Now, I know China has its issues, and I'd be the first to say, hey, there's massive issues here, the persecution of the churches and the communistic approach and the abortion holocaust going on in China. Yeah, they've got their issues, but America is far more culpable than China because America has a godly heritage. It's turned in rebellion against Christ. And friends, you can read the story in American God's Providence. I outline the entire story of the rise and fall of America. I do the same thing for the entire Western world, an epoch, the rise and fall of the West. Now, I think the end result, and this is the point I make very strongly in Epoch, the Rise and Fall, is we must humble ourselves. We are going to have to humble ourselves. There's going to have to be a massive humiliation and humbling of ourselves before Almighty God, before the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a crying out for his mercy and a receiving of his forgiveness and a repenting of our sins, as Steve just mentioned. There just has to be a turnaround. There has to be a turnaround, or it's going to get really ugly. Read the story in Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, or specifically, the story about America in America in God's Providence. Both resources available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Steve Vaughn, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.